Good morning. It is Saturday. It is the end of September. Week 4, and this is the Fantasy Process Report coming back at you for some Week 4 action in fantasy football. Matt, Nick, and Jason spread out between the cities of Philadelphia and Miami once again.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Jason, same time zone there, but different place.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, Jason hasn't gone to sleep yet, actually.
Yep. I've been out all night. Partying, stuff like that. Things Miami folks do.
Wait, you actually haven't been to sleep yet?
No. No, I'm just kidding. I woke up at 7.
Oh. I was like, what? How are you doing this?
Nope, I had a little bit of a... I was just exhausted yesterday. I woke up at 6:30 for work, went straight from work to the car dealership, and I was there for like 4 or 5 hours.
Wait,
came back with a brand new car.
You actually
at like
bought a car?
10:30 or 11 or something, and then just passed out.
Did you buy a Camaro, Jason?
I did.
Oh, he legitimately bought a Camaro.
You had to one up Kevin. That's what it was.
Kevin, your brother buys a Mustang, and you go out here and buy a Camaro.
Yeah, so he got it. He got a really nice used one, and it's, I think, a better engine. I'm not entirely sure. And he got a convertible as well. But I went to this, like, volume, like, wholesaler dealership or something, and I first went to the used section, and I was looking at, like, the different options over there, and I was like, yeah, I saw something on the website for, like, this price, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, that's that new section over there. Like, I don't have anything to compete with that. You're just going to have to go over there if you want, like, something like that. And so I got a brand new 2018 zero miles for, like, $23,000.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was great.
These hides in their cars.
See what the fantasy...
funny thing is, like, I've never been a car guy before in my life, but I think just working at the Speedway and seeing all the cars, I'm just like, damn, those Camaros are slick.
Oh, wow. The Fantasy Process Report management team does not pay us enough to afford Camaros, so Jason's doing.
Hey, I got my sponsorship with Fireball here. I'm good to go.
Oh boy.
Yeah, really.
All right. Let's get into it. So week 4, already had the Thursday night game. We had an interesting Thursday night game this week.
Great Thursday night game.
Yeah, how's that golf taste, man? Ooh.
How's that golf taste? Don't be weird about it.
But yeah, obviously, I went into that matchup thinking these are two of the best teams in the NFL, complete. I thought offense and defense, both sides of the ball, that it was going to be a good game. But nah, it was only a good game on the fantasy side of the ball.
I thought you might take this time to personally apologize to the people you wronged on Twitter.
Okay, so I tweeted out one guy. He said, start him sitting Jared Goff or Tom Brady. And obviously I said Tom Brady. I mean, every
it's the
week.
Vikings. It's the Vikings defense.
It's the Viking defense.
I don't think
it's
anybody expected
defense.
The shootout that the game became.
And Tom Brady. How do you sit Tom Brady over Jared Goff?
Especially the Dolphins, and they're in Foxborough.
But, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Obviously, Jared Goff had a really good game, so.
I mean, there's still time. Tom Brady still
That's
has time to put up
saying.
A 40 spot.
I'm
right.
saying Tom Brady could throw for 6 touchdowns.
I'm just saying. There were some angry people
but
on
it was,
Twitter.
What's funny is that it was not even the guy who asked the question that was angry at me. It was somebody else. But
well, it just lets you know people listen to our advice.
Yeah, right? I mean, you're welcome.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Goff goes absolutely off. Cooper Kupp.
Dude, all of their wide receivers. I thought that the Vikings had the best wide receiver core in the NFL. Now I think the Rams do.
Yeah, it's definitely the Rams between Kupp, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks.
It's crazy, though.
It's not even a scenario where, like, one is kind of head and shoulders above the others and the others are, like, viable fantasy options. It's like, realistically, any of them could be the number one.
It still blows my mind that Brandon Cooks has been on 3 teams in 3 years.
Like, and none of it's really his fault. He hasn't really done anything. It's not like he's getting shipped off for, like, personal reasons or something.
Yeah.
Like, he just gets first-round picks and teams
just
take advantage of it.
It's football.
Yeah, he's not losing his job. He's not, you know, he's not being cut. He's not being fired. Like, he legitimately has signed one-year deals. Like, he signed a one-year deal with the Patriots and then was done. It's ridiculous. The Saints should never have let him walk.
Yeah, well, they had to. They have Michael Thomas and in hindsight, now they have Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And true, Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Yeah.
So they got their future
the heir
set.
Apparent.
Oh, Teddy Bridgewater's not the future, but that's fine.
How much should they trade away for a bench quarterback? I don't know.
Anyway. Waitchin sat Kirk. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Cool.
He did.
Almost as bad as your brother sitting Cooper Kupp.
You see, now that's great. I'm playing my brother this week in our league. And he benched Cooper Kupp. Now that being said, I benched Robert Woods. We had the same mindset. Vikings defense is solid. They're not, you know, the Rams wide receivers are not going to have good numbers. So I benched Robert Woods, and he also, same mindset as me, benches Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods with a solid 18, Cooper Kupp with a very solid 32.
Mm. See, that's my
very
thing,
solid
though.
To say the least.
Like, with these Rams wide receivers, I think that they're great wide receivers, but for fantasy, none of them are better than, like, a wide receiver 2 on a team. And even that, clearly they're not even flex players for you this week. Again, we're talking about going against the Vikings defense, who is a good defense, but I'm starting to feel a little bit questionable against them. Mike Zimmer came out and said that this is the worst defense or worst secondary he's ever coached or something like that.
Jesus.
So that kind of scares me. But
my question was whether it was going to be Robert Woods. Like, I've already got Antonio Brown and Will Fuller starting, and I'm not taking them out. Because Will Fuller's good for one big bomb a game. It was really between Robert Woods or Demaryius Thomas, and I like Demaryius Thomas. I like his matchup against Kansas City. I think I wanted to play that matchup. That being said, I probably guessed wrong as far as benching Robert Woods.
Yeah,
probably.
I got lucky in my one league. I started him last minute. That's always one of those tough calls, taking the Thursday night guy, because it's like it's nice to have somebody in the Thursday night game for you watching it. But also, if they stink, then you're behind going into the week already. So, if you started anybody from this week, you're probably ahead.
The numbers
I was pretty
from
lucky
this
in my
game. Robert Woods, 18.6. Cooper Kupp, 32.7. Brandon Cooks, 22.1. Kirk Cousins, 30.8. Adam Thielen, 23.5. Stephon Diggs, 17.8. Jared Goff, 38.7.
You're
Todd Gurley,
23.6. Our half-point league right now.
That's
and
a half-point PPR.
That's
your
scoring.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those
I think the only one who didn't do well was Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, that's it.
I think he was the only one.
It blows my mind how high-scoring in fantasy that game was.
Yeah, I was kind of lucky because on my team, my choices were kind of made for me because I only have one quarterback on my roster, and that was Jared Goff. And I only have one tight end on my roster, and that is Kyle Rudolph. And Kyle Rudolph put up, let's see, 8.2, 5 catches, 57 yards. Not terrible. I'll take it.
I'll tell you what, man. You'd think that the Vikings will be able to take down some Rams, but they gave them the horns.
Keep going. Let's get more of this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I started 0-3, man.
Oh, God. That's what he's actually saying.
Hungy, the pit bull is coming for you.
I meant Gruden, but yeah, I also started 0-3.
Got him.
The pit bull is not coming for me. I'm playing Ham, who's also 0-3, so one of us is going to walk out 1-3.
Jason, did you get a win this week?
No, I did not. Kevin beat me by a slim 1 point.
Yes. Sat a defense to make sure Kevin secured the win.
Yeah, he sat the defense, and it turned out his defense got 0 points anyway.
No, he had it up. He had a defense Monday night. He benched his D to make sure that he stayed up.
Yeah.
Did he? I thought that his D was a Sunday night.
Sunday night. Regardless, everybody was done except
his
defense.
I thought there was somebody left, and that's why I thought it was bold. But
no, I thought he was completely done.
No, I had. I'm gonna pull up the scoreboard right now. I had one player, and he had one player, and he sat the defense, so it was 1-1, and I think he was up going into it. Let me see.
That's always an interesting.
But yeah, he sat the defense, and they ended up getting 0 anyway. Like, if you look at his bench, I think he had, like, the Patriots.
Patriots,
they had a 0 point anyway.
Got 0. 26 points.
Yeah, so the Monday night. Yeah.
Patriots defense on Monday night. It was already done. He benched the defense to make sure that he secured the 1-point win.
Did they play against Detroit? Mm-hmm.
It was Detroit, yeah. So Golden Tate ended up with 9.9, and he had Gronk.
10 points.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that was.
And Gronk had
7.1.
So basically, he was up a little bit.
That was. Yeah, wow. Kevin.
Yeah, pulled out the 1-point win.
Paid off for him, though. Sorry, I dropped my phone over here.
Ridiculous. Anyway, let's start looking ahead to this week. As far as fantasy players go, you know, some people are going to have a higher stock this week. Some people are going to have a lower stock.
I think we all need to apologize for being so high on Corey Clement last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one didn't work out.
Yeah, Wendell Smallwood vultured a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't think any. I mean, if they gave that one play to Corey Clement, you could easily see him making the same play and scoring that touchdown, which salvages a pretty good day for him. But, yeah, I mean, he didn't totally capitalize on the opportunity that was given to him.
Right, and it really just comes down to the fact that, Wendell Smallwood took the 4-yard touchdown and not Corey Clement.
Yeah. But I think it is worth keeping him on your roster going forward. Like, now that Ajayi's back, it's not worth dropping him. Because Ajayi is playing with that small back fracture, I'm sure, Hungi, you could tell us more about what's going on with that. But I think if you keep Corey Clement, it's going to pay off just in case Ajayi gets re-injured and has to miss more time.
He's got a small back fracture, but he's off the injury report. It's not even that he's questionable or anything. They've removed him from the injury report. So
yeah, he's starting, which is just weird to me. Like, I feel like if your back is broken, you should not be playing.
Mike,
it just seems like a simple case of, like...
Mike? My back is broken. What do you mean? Spinal.
Like, that just seems like logic to me. I don't know about you guys.
Something like that. So, anyway, stock up, stock down. I can tell you somebody who's going to be, as far as stock up goes, and this is probably the third week in a row, but Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman's already ruled out this game, which is rough for my fantasy team. But I got Breida late, so... good there. Ajayi's back, and I have Breida. But either way, Tevin Coleman's stock is going to be up because Devontae Freeman obviously going to miss some time. Big fan. Not a big fan.
See, I think that his stock doesn't really go up too much, though, because Devontae Freeman was already out. So I think that Coleman's stock was already up. If anything, it's going down with each week because how many points did he score?
I guess
last
it's
week?
Up versus where he was drafted.
Right, versus where he was drafted. If you took Tevin Coleman before like the 8th round.
Well, yeah, but that's nothing new, you know.
Okay.
I guess it's just reinforcing it now that Freeman is officially out and not just kind of maybe going to play.
Right. They've listed Freeman as out, and all week he's been questionable. Now he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going with it. Jason understands.
Yeah. I think another guy who has a stock up coming into this week is one of Nick's boys, Sterling Shepard. They're going against the Saints, who, for some reason, their defense is, like, totally different from last year. It's just not good this year for some reason. And with Evan Engram out, you have to think he'll be seeing more targets along with OBJ. And it seems like it might be a shootout. I mean, the Saints can't dedicate all of their attention to the secondary because then Saquon Barkley will rip them apart. So I think Sterling Shepard, his stock is looking up for sure this week.
Yeah, I hope so. Honestly, Giants pulled out the win last week, but I still wasn't convinced with the performance. So I would like to get more offense going, especially from guys like Sterling Shepard. And I don't know about you guys, but I was watching that Giants game, and the Houston Texans were tackling low, like, a lot. And I think that was kind of pissing me off at the beginning of the game, how many times I saw them tackle, like, below the knees. And every guy on the team got at least one tackle where they got up wincing. And Evan Engram obviously got tackled below the knees, right around the knees, and is going to be out for a few weeks now. I hope that we can keep it going with the offense, because this is the time of the season where teams start to worry about injuries, like, across the board. So,
mm-hmm.
We'll see. The person I have on the up right now is James White. I believe Rex Burkhead is going to be out this week and out for a couple weeks.
Patriots running back.
Yeah, but they
no
have Sony
good.
Michel back
yeah,
in the mix now.
Okay, so Sony Michel, he had a pretty good week. I don't think that they really used him that much here. I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, because he was out the first week, and I think he missed a good chunk of the preseason. So I think they were trying to ease him back in. But he's their first-round running back, and he's back, and I think he's going to get more looks. I mean, James White is always going to have value because he's that pass-catching option. He doesn't really get a whole lot of carries and rushes in the first place anyway. So I don't think Sonny Michel affects...
My point is, with Rex Burkhead, those two are going to be splitting at 50-50 now. You know?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So any value that they had beforehand is just going to go up.
Yeah, because I think Burkhead and White are similar style of players that they catch the ball out of the backfield and they're more of receiving backs. And then Michel is just a different style of running back. He's not really going to take too many of the opportunities from James White.
Yeah, I think James White's just, he's always a safe player. His first 3 weeks of the season in Standard League, he got 14, 15, and 13 points. So it's one of those things where he has the potential to boom, but his floor is very high.
There's
so
going to be
good.
A week where he puts up a zero and for the rest of the season gets less than five. Like, it's Patriots running back. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time until he stops putting production out because Belichick decides to move on to somebody else.
I mean, I think that he'll have a bad week, but I don't think he's going to be, like, gone after that bad week.
No, it'll just be... Yeah, I don't think he'll be gone, but I could...
What happens
this
when
is like
guys at Alicia? What's she do?
She gets very upset.
Yeah. Beat your ass, boy.
But this happens all the time where a Patriots running back will get, like, 15, and then the next week he'll get 2. And then the next week he'll get 8, and then the next week he'll get 1, and then the next week he'll get 17. And, like, it's just so up and down because you never know who it's going to be from week to week.
Well, I said this before. I'm usually on the same boat with you guys there, but this year I just have a different feeling about it.
Yeah.
So I get a good stock down. Actually, I have 2, but LeGarrette Blount. Kerryon Johnson is finally starting to get more involved in the offense and get more production, and as Kerryon Johnson gets more involved, LeGarrette Blount gets less involved.
Yeah, he's finally combining skill with opportunity. Because I think out of training camp, all the reports, and the reason why he was drafted in as many leagues as he was all the reports out of Detroit and all the fantasy experts were saying, like, this guy looks amazing. He's so athletic, so explosive. But then coming into the season, like, I guess the coaches saw differently and they went with more experienced guys, and so he just wasn't worth starting because he wasn't getting the opportunities. But now I think he's finally combining that skill and that explosiveness with opportunity, and he made it work on Monday night.
And I think he's going to start taking touches from Blount, and that's obviously not good for Blount owners. Not like many people are really starting Blount, but in a deep league when you're in a jam at running back, you know, Blount's usually reliable for a goal line touchdown, and that's probably going to start changing.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Another stock down, Dak Prescott has not thrown for 200 yards yet this season because
was
Dallas
his stock ever
sucks.
Up?
His stock was never up, but it's down.
But it somehow got worse.
Has not thrown for 200 yards, has thrown three passes beyond 15 yards this season. That's it.
Well, I think it's just a recipe for disaster. His offensive line is not as good. Zeke is really the only option. He has no wide receivers worth trusting. He has no tight ends worth trusting. I think it's just there's no way that this succeeds in that offense going forward.
Yeah. Somebody who I think stock is going up is Calvin Ridley. Obviously, he's coming off a phenomenal game. And it's going to be hard for him to replicate that. But I think if you went into this season drafting Mohamed Sanu, yeah, Calvin Ridley's taking that spot in that team.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Well, I have a stock down for you guys. Marvin Jones. I think the past couple seasons with Detroit, he's been that kind of big play, long guy, and then Golden Tate's been the underneath, kind of crossing route, short reception kind of guy, and this year, Kenny Galladay is the real deal.
Didn't
like,
Marvin
he makes
Jones have a big touchdown catch this past Monday night?
I think he had, like,
I think
one,
he did,
but
yeah,
like,
but
still, that's, like, one.
Still,
play.
Kenny Galladay is, he's usurping that role a little bit. I think right now, both of them are doing well, but I think it's only a matter of time until Kenny Galladay leapfrogs him.
I will say I hate to agree with you because I do have him. I thought I got him as a steal in one of my leagues as my flex wide receiver.
You're talking about Jones?
Yeah, Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I got him as a steal to be like my flex player all year long. I thought he was easily a wide receiver too. And now it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, he's doing well. He's getting touchdowns, but he's gotten four catches each of the first three games. And he's the type of guy that was a huge volume guy last year, and that was kind of what made him big.
Yeah, and he gets the vertical routes too. Like, his depth of target was awesome because if he made a catch, it was getting like 20 yards or something at the least. But yeah, Galladay, like, I've just been watching the past couple Lions games, you know, because I have Golden Tate and just because they're in the primetime games, and Kenny Galladay is just really impressive.
Yeah. So, do you have anybody whose stock is down?
I did.
Anybody else?
Stock
up, Sam Ficken.
Who is Sam Ficken on now?
He's on the Rams. He's replaced Greg Zuerlein.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's back. He just got Sam Ficken is back.
9 points, I believe.
Get those extra points.
Yes. I'm a big Sam Ficken guy. Big Sam Ficken guy. I'll tell you what. He won games at Penn State. He won games. That was it. Sam Ficken wins ball games.
Well,
speaking
right,
of Penn
well,
State,
for
massive
Ficken.
Game tonight.
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
it's a
State,
huge
Ohio
one.
Ohio State, Whiteout, Game Day's on at Happy Valley.
We
right
are.
Now. Turn Game
oh, yeah.
Day on in the background.
I'm excited.
Here.
Yeah, right. Except the microphone will pick it all up.
Me
we'll talk over us.
You'll hear us talking, then you'll hear Corso in the back. Give me that hat mask.
All right, well, moving on. I got a few buy or sell options for you guys.
Not so fast.
I picked out a bunch of players in a bunch of different positions, and basically, it's if you have this guy on your team, are you selling him right now, like trying to sell high based on how they're doing, if they're highly rated or kind of slowly getting out of the gate, and if you don't have them on your team, are you trying to buy them, thinking that they'll improve as the season goes on and try and buy low? So the first guy is Gronk. He's rated 8th right now, so he's not really doing a whole lot. Are you kind of selling on him high or selling on him low or trying to buy low? Or what is your opinion on that guy?
I don't know. I think it's early in the season, so...
Yeah, I would try and buy Gronk at this point.
Yeah, you could buy him low right now, if anything. I think that...
That's what I was thinking.
He had a dud week. The Patriots have looked slow. But Gronk is always one of those guys where if he's healthy, he's going to come around. He'll get plenty of looks.
He is the number one target on that team, and that's it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think it just comes to the Patriots as a team haven't really been clicking yet, but it's only a matter of time until Brady puts up that 400-yard, four-touchdown game, and two of them go to Gronk somehow.
Yeah. Again, I think he can buy low right now. He's got a lot more that he hasn't shown yet. And the thing is, he's healthy still. So that's the most important thing with Gronk is that he's healthy and that he stays on the field. But right now, he's barely inside the top five tight ends, I'd say, in the league. So you can get him at a value underneath top five right now.
I have a...
Yeah, kind of along with that, I would say connected to that is Brady. He's ranked, in our scoring system, he's a 20th ranked quarterback right now. Are you buying him low or trying to... sell low and just get what you can and start someone else, or maybe are you dropping him?
I'm not buying any quarterbacks, to
be
honest with you. It's tough to figure out what the value of that position is.
You get too early on, ready for a bye week, or if you trust the waiver wire for 1 week, then you do that, and after that, you just keep your one quarterback going forward.
Yeah, if your quarterback gets injured, you might as well just go on free agent or go on the waiver wire and pick up a free agent quarterback and just kind of roll with matchups from there. Because it's not worth trading one of your starters for a quarterback when, relatively speaking, they can all have a good week every week, you know?
That's true. But here's a little question for you, though. You have Patrick Mahomes at number 2. Are you selling high? Like, do you think he can keep up being a number 2 ranked quarterback the whole season, or are you trying to sell high and get as much value out of him as you can right now, or someone like Matt Ryan who's ranked number 4?
Yeah, I don't know. I would rather have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I would keep Mahomes
than like
not,
anybody else right now.
I'm not buying him at the price he's going for, but if I have him, I'm definitely not selling him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a good point. Like, he's so high right now that anyone who is trying to buy him would have to pay a lot for him, and I don't think it's worth it.
I have a sell high candidate. I would sell James Conner high.
That was another pair I had on here, James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. I mean, that's just
fourth ranked running back right now, and if Le'Veon Bell doesn't sign his tender by, or he doesn't sign his his franchise tag by week 10, the season doesn't count for him. So we know he's probably going to sign it by week 10. So if Le'Veon comes back,
I'm thinking he'll sign it week 10.
Right, he has to play six games. He has to, otherwise the season doesn't count for him. He has to sign it by week 10 and play six games. So, if you are a James Conner owner, and you are riding on him through the season, when it comes playoff time, and Le'Veon Bell is back because he has to be, you're screwed. James Conner is not helping you at that point.
Now the only question is, when do you sell him?
Now.
Because if it's week 9, you're not going to get much for James Conner because everyone knows that Le'Veon's coming back, so you're going to have no bargaining power.
You sell him right now and you get as much as you can get.
I think you can probably wait another 2 weeks before. So I do agree. You have to sell James Conner because Le'Veon will be back sooner or later. And I think you can wait another 2 weeks before. I think that's the kind of general consensus, is that Le'Veon won't come back until like maybe week 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that at the earliest. So I think you can probably wait another 2 weeks, but I do agree you have to sell high on James Conner while you can.
See, I don't know what Le'Veon's doing. I don't know what's going on in that guy's head. And I feel bad because I don't want to like get mad at him for fantasy reasons, but I just don't.
I mean,
know.
Yeah, like it sucks. Like I took him number one overall. So many people took him number one overall, but like he's doing what's best for his own body.
I just think that he very well could just be out all season. And I know that in order for him to get paid and for this to count as a season, he needs to play 6 weeks or whatever it is.
He does. He has to play 6 weeks.
But I don't know. I think that he might just say, screw it, and then just sit the entire season.
He can't. If he doesn't sign
I don't think he...
If he doesn't sign
then
it,
he doesn't get
he
paid
doesn't
this
play
season.
Six
but
it's not
he
that he doesn't
get...
play. The season doesn't count for him.
I know.
And the
he
Steelers
can get
still own the
get...
rights. He will keep doing the cycle. And I can see the Steelers doing that just to spite him.
But they will trade him. If they can get assets out of it, the Steelers will trade him. And if he can get a deal with another team in place, then he will get traded.
The Steelers won't trade him because it's one of those things. A team's not going to trade for Le'Veon Bell until they agree upon a deal. And no one is going to pay Le'Veon the amount of money Le'Veon wants.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a Khalil Mack situation.
He wants, like, $70 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he's going to – some team's going to do it.
No.
And, like, he's just going to ruin their franchise for a couple of years. But they're going to do it, dude. Somebody's going to pay him. They have to.
So in terms of fantasy for Le'Veon Bell, is he a buy-low candidate or is he kind of a hold-on or is he a sell-high? Or, like, I don't think anyone really knows what to do with him.
I don't know how actively you try to shop him, Jason, but I tried in my one league at the beginning. Like, I'd say after week one, I tried to shop him, like, pretty hard, and I got zero bites. And like,
yeah, that's what I think. Like, I think he is one of those guys where if you do try and trade him, I don't think anyone is really going to give you a whole lot because he does still have value. Like, people will trade for him, but they're not going to give you a starting caliber player for him right now.
There's just too much
so
unknown.
It's just so much unknown, and he's not playing, so no one's really going to give you an RB1 or an RB2 even for someone that no one really knows what's happening with him.
Killing me.
All right.
But, all right, so here's some wide receivers for you. You got a couple guys in the top 10, Adam Thielen and Juju, who are ranked 4th and 6th in points. Do you sell high on them, or do you keep them and ride out the wave?
You keep both of them.
I was going to say I keep them both.
You keep both of them. I mean, Juju's biggest threat to his production is Antonio Brown, but it's not the same kind of points. Juju's a big play threat, whereas Antonio Brown's a possession receiver.
I think
looking at our rankings, Antonio's ranked 14th, and I think that's just because he hasn't really gotten in the end zone. I mean, he has 2 touchdowns, but I think he's gotten his targets. He just hasn't, like, Week two, 9 catches, but only 67 yards. So I think he's going to have that breakout game at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that we've seen between all of last season and so far this season that they can both be productive, Juju and Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's definitely a good look. You don't really have anything to be worried about. They might have an off week. I mean, we've even seen Antonio Brown have an off week before. So if it happens from Juju, don't fret. Don't get worried. I think that he's going to be a good, consistent option all year long. So don't sell low on him. I think that he's a good at least wide receiver too.
Mm-hmm. But do you think you can even buy low on Antonio? Like, if he's on someone else's team, do you think someone else would get frustrated and sell?
Antonio Brown
and sell on him.
Antonio Brown went in the first round across the board in every single league. So no, I don't think you can buy Antonio Brown low.
Nobody would sell him.
But then with Adam Thielen, I mean, his production has been unreal. But do you think he maintains that 4 spot? Like, can you get a big haul for him right now? And maybe he stays up there, but maybe the haul is big enough that you can justify selling him right now. Because, I mean, his targets and catches have been ridiculous so far. Through his first 4 games, including the Thursday night game, he's at 6 catches, 12 catches, 14 catches against Buffalo, and 8 catches against Los Angeles.
I don't know, dude. I like that offense. I think that offense keeps it going. I think that he's going to, again, he showed it all last season, and he's shown it so far this season. You know, he's here to stay. I think that you don't have too much to worry about Adam Thielen.
He's going to get a lot more production across the entire year with Kirk Cousins under center rather than Case Keenum. So,
for sure.
I'm not getting rid of Thielen. I'm not buying him at his price, but I'm not getting rid of him either.
Yeah. I think that's like the consensus with some of these guys. But then there's the lower targets. Like, honestly, this might be a buy low guy, Julio Jones. I mean, he's ranked 17th in wide receivers in R scoring right now.
No.
And you look at that offense, and the past year and a half, he has found the end zone 3 times.
Right.
I think he's a better candidate to talk about than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, like Matt Ryan. I think you just look at, there's so much evidence in that Matt Ryan, Steve Sarkisian offense where, for whatever reason, they just cannot find him the ball in the end zone. And like other guys like Calvin Ridley, even Mohamed Sanu has had more touchdowns. Devontae Freeman gets involved out of the backfield, Tevin Coleman. For whatever reason, Julio is probably one of the 3 most gifted talent wide receivers in the NFL, but he just can't get going. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, part of it is, like you said, the touchdown factor. He gets targeted in the red zone, but it's just like he's not pulling them in.
Yeah.
So I think he might be one of those sneaky buy low guys where someone drafted him at the end of the first round or second round or something and is just saying, like, I'm fed up with this offense, let me just get something out of him, you know? So I think he is a sneaky buy low candidate. But I could also see someone kind of holding on and saying, you know what, I'm thinking he'll turn it around this season. So I'm kind of torn on this one.
Yeah. Well, I think we're ready to move on to the next topic here.
Mm-hmm.
And go with rookie fantasy options. Well, I kind of was curious about was, A, the new rookie quarterbacks that are in play, and B, if any of their players are going to benefit or hurt. Start with the one I'm most curious about is the Arizona Cardinals.
No,
Josh Rosen.
That's not the one you're most curious about.
I mean,
I think it's
got to
be the dog
Baker.
Pound is the most curious.
It's got to be Baker.
But me personally,
okay.
For having Fitz and for David Johnson in particular, those are 2 guys that were drafted way higher than they've been performing. So
what?
I think they stand the most to gain from.
I think
they
both go up.
What makes me concerned about Rosen? What makes me concerned is that they made a conscious decision to start Sam Bradford over him to start the season. And if you think for a second Sam Bradford, if you think for a second Sam Bradford is better than anyone.
It's an obligation start.
That's not an obligation.
I think it's just the game plan changes. Like with Sam Bradford, it was such a conservative game plan. Like he didn't throw the ball more than 4 yards downfield. But with Rosen, I think, he'll throw you some more interceptions, but he'll take more chances. And with guys like David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald hauling them in, I think it'll pay off more
Larry
often than not.
Larry doesn't catch many downfield. Larry catches a lot underneath now.
Will that be a good thing, though, for Rosen?
I thought it would be a good thing for Bradford.
Man, well, Bradford's just, like, worse than washed up at this point.
Yeah.
Bradford has committed highway robbery on about 5 NFL teams.
It's amazing. I think he's the smartest guy in the NFL somehow.
I don't.
Anyway, no, the most...
I mean, when you manage to swindle, like, 4 NFL franchises into giving you $20 million a year, I think you're doing something right. Mm-hmm.
The most interesting rookie...
Baker Mayfield.
...has to be Baker Mayfield.
Jarvis Landry, that is a stock way up to me.
Yeah, I think he definitely benefits. I don't know if anybody else in that team really benefits, though, fantasy-wise. I don't think that...
Njoku,
I guess, yeah.
Njoku definitely benefits. Njoku hasn't
done anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I forgot about him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you look at last Thursday, Baker was slinging it all over the field, and he was throwing some darts. I mean, up the middle, across, like, he was throwing it everywhere, and he looked really sharp.
Hey.
I mean, that's only one game, but he did show that he was going through reads. That was the most impressive thing to me when I was watching the game. He didn't just get the ball and look at his number one option the whole way and try and force it. He was looking at his number one. All right, they're not open. Let's look at number two. They're not open. Let's look at number three. So he was looking all over the field. I think that's going to help him find his open guys.
So Baker, right? Baker played pretty much the second half and maybe 2 minutes of the first half, right? So pretty much just the second half of that game. And threw for 201 yards. Dak Prescott can't throw for 200 yards in 4 quarters of 3 games so far this season. I'm just saying.
Always bring it back to Dak.
But I am very excited to see what Baker can do. I think
might have a little bit of the Pat Mahomes effect.
Yeah, I think they're set up for success. And as we all know, Baker can make plays on his feet too. He didn't even do that last week.
No, he didn't.
He didn't even try. He was in
the
pocket.
He kind of made a few plays in the pocket, but like he didn't scramble and get yards.
Right,
like,
he escaped in the pocket, but he didn't scramble and get yards. He didn't even show that side of
him,
which we know he has. So I think, as a fantasy standpoint, I think Baker is really set up to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might be worth rostering, but at the moment, I don't think he's worth starting
just yet.
I would wait. Yeah, I would wait a week. You know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have him on your bench and have him put up a 30 spot and then know going forward, all right, now I can start him. Because there's nothing worse than putting him in your starting lineup and then having him have a 200-yard, 4-interception day, you know.
Yep.
Which is possible for rookie quarterbacks.
I'll tell you what, I used him to replace Tyrod Taylor on my roster as one of my backup quarterbacks.
Yeah,
there you go. That was a nice transition.
But looking at running backs, Philip Lindsay. There's that rookie running back situation in Detroit. There's Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. I don't know how that shakes out anymore.
I thought that's Denver.
Denver, yeah.
Or Denver, yeah. Wait, what did I say?
Detroit.
Oh, yep, Denver.
Well,
that's what I meant.
I mean,
Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay up there.
Rookie running backs in Detroit,
yeah.
Too, Kerryon Johnson, but we kind of already touched on him.
So does
Philip Lindsay
get a reduced role this week because he just punched a guy and got ejected?
Yeah.
His fantasy owners want to punch him now for... Because that happened towards the beginning
of the
game.
Well, I think what saves Philip Lindsay is that Royce Freeman kind of took all of the carries last week after Philip Lindsay left and didn't really impress a whole lot.
No, he didn't. And that's kind of what I was going to note as well, is that Royce Freeman had his chance and he kind of didn't do much with it. So,
yeah, that's always the risk with kind of these rookie running backs is you roster him. And I made the mistake. I mean, looking back, I had Jordan Wilkins because – rookie running backs, you just never know who's going to blow up. I mean, Philip Lindsay, who would have called that? An undrafted free agent coming in, third string running back in training camp, and then blows up and has a couple really good weeks. So,
what,
with rookie running back, you just never know.
What is his hair, though?
He's LMFAO.
Oh, my God, he's the guy from LMFAO.
He is the guy from LMFAO.
Just needs a pair of neon green sunglasses.
What's that guy's name? Red Fu.
Red
Fu. Philip Lindsay is Red Foo.
He's a combination of both of the guys.
Give him some shutter shades and he's good to go.
Mm.
Anyway, let's move forward because I only have a couple minutes left here.
Mm-hmm.
So, random stardom sit-ems. How random is random?
Jason, do you have any in mind?
So I'm flipping through Twitter right now and going off of who we were just talking about, there's someone with the Twitter name Beyonce's Knees who says Baker versus Oakland or Andy Dalton versus Atlanta.
Oh, is that what we're going to do? We're just going to go on Twitter and just fantasy football random starting.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for.
I don't know if you want to ask me quarterbacks starting
sit-ins. I didn't realize Nick, that's how random we're getting. Let's do it.
Oh, we're doing random,
so,
yeah.
So who was it again? Andy Dalton or who?
It was Andy Dalton or Baker. Andy versus Atlanta, Baker versus Oakland.
I'd say Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Andy for this one, too.
That game's going to be a shootout as well.
Yeah, especially because Atlanta's defense has been decimated by injuries so far this year.
Plus,
I don't remember the names, but I think they're down their starting safety, they're down their starting middle linebacker, and I think they're down a cornerback or something. Like, three of their top four best defensive players are out for the year.
Think that also Andy Dalton has been doing really well this season. So I think that he's probably the safer option just because we have seen a little bit more from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, true. Agreed.
Huggy's busy. All right,
next one here. Huggy, what did you have to think?
Let's see.
He's still scrolling if you have one, Jason.
Giovanni Bernard or Derrick Henry?
Gio.
I go Gio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the
lion's share of that backfield, and he's got receiving work, and Derrick Henry's just been way too inconsistent so far this year.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, I got Calvin Ridley or Keelan Cole.
Calvin Ridley or Keelan Cole?
Keelan's
an interesting one.
I would say Keelan Cole. Keelan Cole had an off week last week, but that's just because all of the Jags' offense had an off week. That's the Blake Bortles you're going to get, where some weeks he'll throw for 500 yards, some weeks he'll throw for, like, Dak Prescott numbers. I think that he'll be back. And Keelan Cole was definitely the go-to option in Jacksonville when they are throwing the ball, so... Keelan Cole. Calvin Ridley, I think he had a phenomenal week, but tough to replicate, like I said. Keelan Cole.
Yeah, I mean, with Calvin Ridley, you're kind of counting on Matt Ryan having like an elite caliber day, and I don't think you can count on that every week like you could in his MVP season. So I don't know if there's much room to replicate that. And yeah, so I agree with you. It's probably Keelan Cole this week.
Any good ones, guys?
Let's see. Here's another one in the flex spot. Mike Williams or Tevin Coleman?
Mike Williams or Tevin Coleman? Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, Mike Williams in that really good. I think the Chargers offense is looking real good so far this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just have to say Tevin Coleman, especially with Devontae out this week again and him being a running back and getting those guaranteed looks.
Yeah, I think that I'd have to agree with you guys again here. I'd say Tevin Coleman, he's going to be getting a lot more usage, and of course he's one of those running backs who also catches the ball, so he could easily have just as many catches.
Sony Michel or Juju? I would say that's Juju. I think that's
Juju.
A no.
Yeah, it's got to be Juju.
I don't know why that guy's even asking that question.
I don't know why he reiterated that one.
Quincy Enunwa or Chris Godwin?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'd say Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin after last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Godwin's getting consistent looks. I think it's just tough because he's got to share so many looks in that offense, and it's like Matt Ryan. Like, you're depending on Fitzmagic.
Is he going to be
balling out every week? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think Godwin, like, he's competing for looks with Mike Evans, who's going to get his guaranteed 10 targets a game, and he's going to ball out. And then DeSean Jackson, who's getting his deep looks, and then O.J. Howard, who's getting his looks, and maybe even Cameron Brate. So I think Godwin, he's just been a beneficiary of Fitzpatrick having an unbelievable start. But as soon as Fitzpatrick regresses, I think Godwin's the first one to lose his looks.
So I have a good one. I have a really good one. Pick two. Amari Cooper, Devin Funchess, Kenny Galladay. Pick two.
Ooh.
Cooper and Galladay.
Yeah, I mean, Galladay's the definite for me, but then you want to say Cooper, but he's just been like so up and down the past couple games and going into last year, so you can't start Cooper with as much confidence as you used to be able to, I think.
Yeah.
So man, that's a tough one.
Jason, I just opened up that Snapchat or the tweet that you sent me. That kind of infuriates me.
It's always funny when you look back on draft day. For those who don't know, there was a tweet of of a screenshot of the Wikipedia draft where the Giants were pick number 9 and they took Eric Flowers, and pick number 10 was Todd Gurley. So it's always funny looking back on drafts like that. I'm sure the Grizzlies can relate them taking Darko Milicic over Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Mm. All right, I got a couple more starter sit-ins. Let's see. We got in a standard league, I guess we'll go back to Calvin Ridley or Philip Lindsay.
It's a tough one, because Philip Lindsay has had that big playability so far, and
yeah,
when he's in the offense, he gets the most explosive plays, and he's averaging the most yards, and he gets look in the receiving game. But there's also the uncertainty of how his ejection plays into his playing time this week.
Yeah,
so that's a tough one. I don't know. I might have to go Ridley just because he's on the upswing now. I mean, he had a monster, 40-point game last week, but he did have a pretty solid game the week before too, scoring a touchdown and getting double-digit fantasy points. So I think he's on the upswing. He's not going to replicate 3 touchdowns, obviously, but I don't think he's going to have a dud by any means.
Yeah, it's tough though. I mean, it's like you said; those are both players where they've had a couple good weeks, but they're both coming off a week where you don't know what it's going to be afterwards. Like we said, Lindsay's coming off that ejection, and you never know if a team's actually going to discipline him further or if they are doing it already behind closed doors. So they're not going to tell you if they're going to take away his workload.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and because they want to keep the other defense guessing. They don't want them to think that they're only going to have to deal with Royce Freeman all game.
Yep. True. Got any more? What are you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready for Jason's fire take.
All right, so it is 9:50 a.m. I got my all-knowing shot of fireball here, and let's go. Oh, that's delicious. Okay, so my fireball has told me your stardom fire start of the week is Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati. And I don't know why, but this guy is only owned in 60% of leagues, and he's only started in 33%. But you look at his numbers, he goes from a 4.1 to an 18.1 with a touchdown to a 22.7 with a touchdown. He's getting his targets. He's clearly jumped over John Ross in that offense. John Ross is not rosterable anymore, despite how good he looks in the preseason and his draft status and everything. But Tyler Boyd, he's getting all kinds of looks. He's getting receptions. He's getting rushes. I mean, he's just everywhere. And he even managed to produce, I think it was week 2. He got 6 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown, and that includes A.J. Green also having 3 touchdowns. So I think Tyler Boyd is just looking up. He's clearly the number 2 in that offense. Andy Dalton has been solid, consistent his whole career, so I think Tyler Boyd's just an easy starting candidate, and I'm not sure why he's not getting started in more than 33% of leagues right now.
Yeah, I definitely think if you're having any type of flex issues, then he's a worthy starting candidate. You got to ride the hot hand there. He's definitely been getting looks, especially in the end zone. So I think that, he's definitely a good fire take. We'll see if he keeps it up. I believe that he's, like you said, he's definitely going to take on more of a number 2 receiver job there in Cincinnati, which is honestly possibly more desirable than the number 1 job, because everybody's going to have their eyes on AJ Green. So for fantasy perspective, Boyd might be better in terms of just a week to week consistency, but we'll see. You never know what you're going to get out of those Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, they've shown in the past, too, with A.J. Green, that the number 2 can be successful in that offense. I mean, Mohamed Sanu was a pretty good number 2 option. Brandon LaFell wasn't bad. And I think he started off the season as the number 3 with John Ross as the number 2, but then John Ross just kind of underwhelmed, and Tyler Boyd just made some plays and stepped up, and here he is, and I think he's here to stay.
All right.
So here's a great, great trivia question. Nick can see it at this point, so I'm going to ask Jason.
All right.
Jared Goff is the 5th player in NFL history to throw for 450 plus yards, 5 touchdowns, and 0 picks in a game. Can you name the other 4?
Oh, I saw this graphic. it was like Peyton Manning,
one.
McNabb.
Yep.
I can't remember the other two. It was like Brady or someone.
Nope. Brady has not done it.
Maybe Kurt Warner.
Nope.
I'm not sure. I forget the other two.
Ben Roethlisberger and Y.A. Tittle.
Oof.
Y.A. Tittle, man.
That's a throwback.
Going back.
Yep. Donovan.
And that's
Payton.
Honestly, Y.A. Tittle is probably the most impressive out of that group just because the passing game really exploded with Bill Walsh in San Francisco. So before that, the passing game wasn't really that huge. So it's like really impressive for Y.A. Tittle to have a game like that, given that the offenses weren't really catered to passing the ball as much as they do now.
Respect.
Yeah.
Good old Donovan. Oh, boy.
Poor company to have.
Anyway. Although it says that how great of a quarterback coach Andy Reid is that he got a quarterback on that list. I mean, Andy Reid, he's just worked magic with every quarterback he's worked with. It's incredible.
Mm. So, real quick before we go, game day's on at Happy Valley right now, and Gritty has made signs.
Yeah.
I'm just Gritty is on signs at Happy Valley right now. Best one right now is just a picture of Gritty staring menacingly into the camera as he does, with the caption, "Still looks better than Brutus the Buckeye."
Ouch.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm not on Team Gritty just yet. I'm just.
You will be, Jason.
I'm not.
Otherwise,
sold.
He'll kill you. He kills everybody.
I just don't
like
that. I'm just not on it yet. I mean, I might eventually. I wasn't on Team Franklin, the Sixers mascot, but I am now. But I'm not on Gritty just yet.
I am all in for Gritty.
The second he tweeted at the Penguins' official Twitter account and told them to sleep with one eye open, that's when he had me.
Yeah, when he tweeted at the, well, not just the mascot, he tweeted at the Penguin and said, "Sleep with one eye open, bird." That was the best.
Oy.
Oh, Gritty.
All right, well.
National treasure.
I think we're reaching an end here. We got some football tomorrow to watch.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Fantasy week 4. This is a big make or break week for a lot of people. I'm 0-3 in two leagues, so if I go 0-4, I'm pretty close to counting those seasons out. So big week.
Yeah, no, it's the beauty of the Thursday night game. I'm going into a week already up 46.9-17 with just two players because Jared Goff threw me a nice little day on Thursday.
To the Julian Edelman and Mark Ingram owners out there, one more week, guys. We got this.
Yeah, one more.
All right. I'm going to head out. I got to get out of here. But this is the week I turn the season around.
Oh, yeah?
This is the week.
You're a hunky too. Let's go.
I'm playing my brother, who's also 0-3. One of us has to walk out with a win. I'm going to walk out with a win. The season is going to turn itself around.
You hear that, everybody? He won't be doing the video this week.
It's not that
I
won't be doing the video. I'm going to be getting
you,
a win. I'm
are you guaranteeing a win here?
I am guaranteeing a win.
Oh, we have audio record of Hungy guaranteeing a win.
You heard it here first. I am guaranteeing a win. I'm ready.
Well,
I'm ready.
Just because you said that, you're going to get blown out by 40.
Matt Breida, Jay Ajayi are ready. Antonio Brown is ready. Will Fuller is ready. Hell, Big Ben Roethlisberger is ready. We are ready. We are going to get a win.
They are all starting.
Cam Newton is not because he's on bye. So, Big Ben, it's your week.
All right. Well, I think we're ready for football.
Let's do it.
Happy Sunday tomorrow.
The Jets defense might not be ready. We might be finding somebody else. But everyone else is ready. All right. Well, we will see you after this week when I have one in the win column. Mm.
Sure. Whatever you say, bud.
Might have to wait a few weeks before that one happens.
All right. We will see you guys later. Take it easy. Go Birds.
Nice. Bye.